today I want to just spend a few minutes. I was sharing some thoughts a few weeks ago on the subject of faith, and faith involves an action. I think these lessons have application in anything that we do in life. You know, when you decide in life that you're going to do something, you first meditate on it, you think about it, right? You say, I'm going to do that, right? And you talk about it. But faith, or a belief, or a desire, you could say, to do something without an action is what? Nada. It means it's nothing. It's talk. You know how they say that? You know, you're all talk. And what they say? You're all talk and no action, right? You got a lot of talk, but you're not doing anything. So, you know, people will say, yeah, I'm going to get in shape. And nothing, right? So I'm going to go out and do some exercise, and you get about it. And I like what Mark Hankin says. He said, I get up every morning and I walk around the block, and then I push it back up under the bed. He pulls his little block out and he walks around the block and he pushes it. You'll get it. Anyways, so that was the extent of his exercise. That was his idea of exercising, walking around the block. But you get my point. Faith, and that's what the Bible says, faith without an action is dead. So even in life, when we decide we're going to do something, there has to be a corresponding action. When you decide, well, I'm going to go on this trip, well, you decided you're going to do that, but then what happens next? You got to make some reservations. You got to do something. And the same thing, these are all natural things, but without that same kind of action, we can believe for things where God is concerned. What do I have? In other words, now faith, this is Hebrews 11:1, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So you have to have hope first. You have to have a desire or an expectation, I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to receive something that God promises in His Word. We have that word, when it says substance, faith is the substance. That word substance in the Greek, not without talking Greek here, it means hypostasis. So it's that big word. You know, somebody said big word. But that word means support. It means something support under. So that means like this, I'm going to sit in this chair, and I'm expecting to sit in this chair, but there's something supporting this chair. What is it? The floor. So it's supporting this chair. Well, it's the same thing. I can sit in this chair and expect not to fall through the ground here because I've got something supporting me. And it's the same thing in the Word of God. I can expect God's Word to work because it's what? It's settled. And it supports what I believe. So you can't have faith. That's why the Word says faith begins where what? The will of God is known. Once I know what God's will is, I can have it. I can expect for God. He says, what does he say in Isaiah? I watch over my word to perform it. So he will see that his word comes to pass. This is Mark 11:23. What things soever, you speak to the mountain, and you doubt not and believe the things that you say, it'll come to pass. So often we let go. You know, we believe, we start moving, we start professing, and then we say, I've been doing this for 6 months, I don't see anything happening. And then we start talking negative. We let go. Something Brother Hagin shared years ago in his experiences in the area of healing, and also in the area of just personal interactions with people, he said he saw when he would teach the Word of God in the area of healing, that's how God used him a lot, and he said people would come to his meetings and they would be like, well, I sure hope I get healed. I sure hope so. And he said, well, you need more than that. That's a good place to start. But he said after he, in those days when he would teach meetings for 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. And he said if people came to those meetings, he said, and they would follow him, write notes, meditate in the Word with him, look at it, absorb it. He said after 2, 3 weeks, he said if he had healing lines, and he said anybody who needs healing, come up and I'll lay hands on you. He said when individuals would come, they would say to him, you just lay your hands on me and I'll be healed. That's faith. Not, well, you lay hands on me, and I sure hope so, because he would say to folks, well, did you get it? Well, I hope so. He said, well, you didn't, because you're hoping. You're just hoping and praying. You're hoping that you get something, and you're not convinced. You're not absolutely convinced you've got something. You know, when somebody says that they're going to give you something and you believe them, you already, you've basically received by faith. You don't have it yet. They're going to send you something. Or no different. When we were growing up, our parents would say, we're going to take you somewhere, or we're going to do something for you. You believed your parents. And so you'd be telling your friends, hey, we're going on a trip. We're going to Disney. We're doing something. We're going out for pizza tonight. You hadn't got there yet. But somebody you trusted told you we're going. So we're going. And if you kept your word, well, they have faith in you, right? Well, it's the same thing with God. He said he will see to it that he brings his word to pass. He watches over it. So there's no reason why I should doubt. I trust God. What does Mark 11:22 say? Have faith in God. Have faith in him. So for us, you know, walking through life, we're all going to face obstacles in life. We're all going to face challenges. We're all going to face oppositions in life. We need to do what? Have faith in God. Have faith in him. And believe that he's going to work out the things that I need to have done in my life. That's what Hebrews 13, what does he say in verse 5? He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I won't leave you or forsake you. I'm going to make sure that the things that you need to live in life, your finances, your you know, all of the things that you need, he's going to cover you. But we need to make sure we're talking that way, not, you know, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. We're never going to make it. Well, we have other things in the Bible that talk about death and life is in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So sometimes we're defeated by our own lips, by our own confession or profession. So, you know, when we talk about the subject of faith and our lives, Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Even when I don't know, when I can't see in the natural a way, he makes a way. He directs my path. So I need to profess, Lord, I don't see how, but I know you're making a way. I know you're going to show me how to handle this. I know you're making a way. And so for us, that's, I like this in the Amplified translation. It says, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. He'll make it plain. So, I mean, it's like people say, even Stevie Wonder could see. And I mean, he'd make it so plain that you see it, you know it. So for us, this life that we live, which is in 2 Corinthians, I'm thinking chapter 5 and verse 7, I like this in the Passion. It says, we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. So, you know, our lives are so affected. We've been so groomed by what we see, by what we hear, by what we taste, by what we feel. You know, those things, you know, we do learn from those things, but we are to do what? Live by faith. What does that mean? Live by the Word of God. Live by His Word and follow Him. So for us, trust in Him, trust in the Lord, trust in His Word. And I'll tell you, you know, the things that are going on, we need to know that He loves us and that He has our best interest at heart. So in other words, for us, God loves me. You need to make that, in other words, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I have no idea, but He loves me. And the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And He's going to show me how to get out of this fix or whatever it is you're facing. He's showing me. And you need to talk that way because I'm in a blood covenant with God. I'm in a covenant with God. What does the scripture say in Romans? I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. That means His what He won in victory is mine. And mine is His, His is mine. We're joint heirs. I'm seated in heavenly places. The devil's been dethroned and he's been, you know, defeated. And so in life, I need to just go through life when my flesh is screaming, my mind doesn't know what to do, my mind is screaming, then I need to say, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know one thing's for sure. God loves me, and I'm His child. And He's going to show me how to walk through life victorious. Isn't that what John 10:10 says? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that means, you know, that means when I'm going through life and it gets bumpy, you can't sit there and go, well, I don't know. You know, He said, I'm going to have, well, what's up with this? Well, you have an enemy. I mean, 2 Corinthians 4:4 is very clear. He says, Satan is the god of this world. He has come to do what? Blind the minds of those who are lost. So he's there to kind of stir things up, make it difficult in our lives. But for me and you, we're seated in heavenly places far above principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. And when we come into an area, whether it's this area we live in or whatever area you live in, when you face opposition, you've got your armor. You've got things that at your access that he said, use the name of Jesus. You've got the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the Word of God. And the devil has no authority where the Christian is concerned. Yeah. So James, let me just read this in the New Living Translation. In James 1, verse 22 and 23 and 24, it says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves." Now, you know what I mean by, you know, let's make it clear. You know, when God, these scriptures support other scriptures. And so when we look at John 13, 34 and 35, when it says, this commandment I've given you to walk in the love of God, then that means here, if we just talk about walking in the love of God, but we actually don't do it, then it says we're fooling ourselves. So we need to, as the Great Commission that says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, walk in the love of God. So it goes on. It says, you're fooling yourselves, but if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. What does that mean? It means when you see something in the Word of God and it's clear to you, something that you now understand, you see it. And you understand, you say, I need to do that. There's an aha, I see it. Well, when you see that, and you walk away and don't do it, that's what this is saying here. When you see yourself in a mirror, you see clearly. And then you walk away, that's what this is saying here. It says here, if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, so you see yourself clearly. You walk away, and then what does it say? It says you forget what you look like. So now when you see something in the Word of God and then don't quickly obey it, you walk away. Anybody ever have that happen? You see something and then you don't write it down, and you an hour, 2 hours later, you're going, what was that? What was that? Lord, what? Bring that. You ever hear that? Somebody will say, Lord, bring that back to me. Bring that back. Bring that revelation back. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you get the point. When we see something and we don't obey, it's like looking at yourself in a mirror. You walk away and forget what that revelation is. So it's a good idea that when we see to do something, just start taking steps, whatever those steps are, in that direction. Start taking some steps. And God will perfect that which you're doing. He'll grow you. That's why a lot of times, you know, when God prompts us to do something, you know, we most times, you know, if it's in an area that pinches, we'll go, Lord, you know, this isn't really a good time for me to do this. You know, whatever that is, you know. A lot of times if it's walking in the love of God, you know, you're like, Lord, I don't really want to love that person. I don't like them. And so usually, you know, it was interesting. I was sharing with Minister Joe on Friday. We started a Bible study. We start a Bible study on Friday in Nanuet, and so we met with a couple beforehand, and it was sort of like a marriage type thing. We just felt impressed to do it. We don't normally do these things, but they weren't members of the church. And they were just having some issues, and they were butting heads and banging and so forth, you know, and just going through a rough patch, And what's interesting to me is this is what we're dealing. This is what we're seeing in the community. People are hurting. They're looking for answers, and they know God's got the answer, but they're not in the Word. They ain't even going to church. It's like, well, I think I ought to read the Bible. But all of the things they're doing are just, they got off on the wrong foot. You know, both of them were divorced. They have kids. They decided to get together, you know, blah, blah, blah. All of those kind of things. Nothing wrong with that. But because they had stuff coming into the marriage, they decided, this is my stuff, and this is your stuff, and we're doing a prenup. Well, you already started off on the wrong foot. Because now it's like, you know, you have to start now talking. Everything is soulish. It's worldly. It's worldly thinking. It's fear. You know, you say you love a person, but now you're afraid that I built this huge, because he got a big business. He's got a lot of stuff. And now he's like, my stuff. And so you have to start talking to folks, and you have to start saying, well, do you love this person? Yes, I love them. Well, then why are you afraid of losing your stuff? So yeah, no, we weren't there to criticize their decisions. That's not what we were there to do, but to help them see that God loves them. I said, look, when God sent Jesus to this earth, it said God so loved us that he did something. He didn't say, you know what? I don't know whether they're going to really do this or not, so I got my stuff, and I'll give you a little stuff over here, and when you get it all together, no, he didn't do that. So I said, you know, a lot of times when it comes to marriages and relationships, we were just sharing with them that, you know, relationships are very complicated and can be complex. I said, but what can unravel all of that real easy is the love of God. And I said, love, I said, now you've all of this stuff has happened. I'm just sharing about this interaction. And I said, now, I said, you've built up walls and you're like, I don't want to love that person, or I don't like them. I said, well, God, you know, you can get to the place where you don't love somebody, but I suggested to him, I said, you know, if you'll do this, God will put love in your heart for each other. And I said, it won't be you, it'll be God in you loving another person. And I said, if you'll just read 1 Corinthians 13 every day, every day. I asked this gentleman, I said, how did you get good? How did you build this business? How did you do that? I said, you made a decision and you started doing something every day to get better at what you did. You made a choice. And I said to her, I said, how did you get good at doing your profession? How did you do that? You made a choice. I'm going this direction. And you started working at it. I said, so how do you get good at being a Christian? I said, you start taking God's word. And I said, I'm going to get better at being a Christian. And I'm going to walk like Christ in the earth. How are you going to do that? You make a choice. And you make a decision. And I said, you start feeding on the word of God every single day, without fail. Whether you feel like it or not, every day you feed on the word of God. Take a little bit in. I said, you eat every day. Feed on his word every day, every day, every day. And little by little, you'll become like him. You'll have the mind of Christ. And I said, the word of God, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And I said, once you do that, the word of God, the power of God will begin to change you from the inside out. and you'll begin to love one another, you'll look back and go, man, I didn't know it was this good. But it's going to take a decision to do that. And that's what we shared with them. We said, look, if you want this to work, start there. Make a decision that you want to change. Because it was, well, he does this, and she does this, and it's all of this, you, bam, bop, boop. You could sit for 3 hours listening to that. And I said, that's not going to change anything. Because that's the law. You know, you got to do this, and you have to do this. And I said, that's not going to solve anything. So I said, start reading the Word. Start feeding on 1 Corinthians 13 every day. It'll change you in such a way that you'll be surprised. And you'll start loving one another with the God kind of love. And I said, that will work in any relationship, whether it's your friends, your family, your spouse. And I said, and in the church. And that's why God is stirring our hearts to take that motto that we have, that this is a place, say, make it personal. I'm a place where the love of God resides. He shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I let the Word of God dwell in me richly. I'm a place where the Word of God dwells. I'm a person and a place where the Spirit of God directs. I'm a place where the power of God is manifested. And you start saying that, make it personal. I said, man, you're going to be walking in power and in the love of God. And I said, it'll change your life and your relationships, your family, your friendships. It'll change it. So we're finding that, and that takes faith to do that. You can hope to change. You may want to change, but you're going to have to make a choice to change. And that's what? Faith without an action. You're not going to get results. Has to be. You got to decide, I'm going to do this, and you take action. And that's what the Word of God is. That's exactly what it says. It says you're fooling yourself if you don't take an action on that which you see. So the longer we hesitate when we see to do something, the further we move away from that which we saw clearly. We move away from it. So we live by faith and we walk by faith. So Hebrews 11:1, I'll read a few other translations. It says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. So you have to have hope first. You have to have an expectation. And how does that expectation come? I expect something to happen because I know the will of God. So faith is knowing the will of, in other words, I can have faith because I know what the Word says. I know what the will of God is. And so faith gives substance or support or an undergirding to something that I hope for. So this is faith. This is what I like. This is the authentic. It says, faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. So you have to have an expectation, you have to have hope in order for faith to give substance to. So you have to have faith is what? Faith is the substance. It gives substance to something. It gives support to something. So you have to have hope or an expectation. You say, well, you know, it'd be like saying, well, I'm going to go buy a ticket. Where are you going? I don't know. That would be dumb. Right? You got to have a hope. You have to have an expectation. I expect to be healed. Well, now I can have faith. Faith, God's word, gives substance. It gives support to something that I expect. Himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. By his stripes, I have been healed. That gives substance to something that I'm expecting, I'm hoping. And what is that? How does faith come? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the rhema, the revealed word of God. So I like his another translation, the Moffat, it says, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't live by what we see. We live by faith, something that's promised in the word of God. So I may see something in the natural, but I have confidence that God is going to meet my need. So I may see something different. So rather than get all out of sorts, we go, well, God's meeting my need. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm expecting him to do that because he said so. And we talk that way. He's going to show. He's meeting my need. I don't know how he's going to do that, but he is meeting my need. I'm expecting him to meet my need because I'm in covenant with a covenant-keeping God. So we need to have that type of confidence. How does that confidence come? By being in the word of God. The entrance of his word brings light, brings revelation. This is another translation. It says, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we can't see, we cannot see. So faith gives substance, it gives confidence, it gives assurance, you could say. To what? Something I'm expecting. So I could look at something and say, well, I'm expecting that, but where does the assurance support that expectation? Comes from the word of God. My assurance, my confidence comes and supports and undergirds my expectation. I'm expecting that to come. I'm expecting it because God said he would. And that supports, that undergirds, that's my assurance of something I expect. And it's no different. I mean, you could use all kinds of natural examples, right? When children are convinced that daddy or mommy said, we're doing this, they said it. Well, that's their confidence. They're hoping to go. You said we're going. And they said, well, they said we're going. And they're telling all their friends we're going. They have what undergirded, mommy or daddy told me, we're going. And they're saying it. We're going. And they're expecting to go. So their expectation is to go. And somebody confirmed it and gave them assurance that we're going. Oh, I got God's word. He has undergirded my expectation, my hope, my desire. He undergirds that, gives me confidence. I'm in blood covenant with him. He never changes. His word never changes. It's settled in heaven. So when I don't see a way, I have faith that he's going to make a way. So this is when we have, you know, confidence. So So let me read this. This is in the James chapter 2 and verse 14 in the New Living. It says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" Then verse 17, it says, "So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless." That means faith by itself isn't enough. There has to be an action. You have to say, I'm going to do this. This is Mark chapter 5. I mean, you can read the story of the woman with the issue of blood. You can read about the centurion who came to Jesus and said, "Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." He was convinced. So for us, it's being convinced and then going on and this James 2, verse 26, further down, it says, "Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works." Let me read some other translations in James 2:14. These are some other different translations. It says, "What good is it, brethren, if a man asserts that he possesses faith but does not reveal it in his actions?" So your actions reveal what you believe. It's another way of saying it. So you can say you have faith, but if your actions reveal something different, then we could question that. It says, this is another translation, "My friend, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it?" So your actions support or reveal what you believe. Can that faith save you? And then this is James 2:17. These are some other translations. "So it is with faith. If it is alone and it includes no actions, then it is dead." Then it's just talk. Believing is good, but then there has to be action. And then this is verse 26, James 2:26. Said, "Just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead." So I'll read that again. "Just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead." So there has to be a corresponding action. Faith, when it's expressed, when we see something in the Word of God, then there must be a corresponding action. Faith without an action is dead. There has to be an action. Otherwise, it's just faith. Remember what we said, faith comes. So faith is there. The woman with the issue of blood, the man who was the centurion, he had faith for Jesus to heal his servant. He had faith. The woman with the issue of blood heard of Jesus. She had faith. But unless there was a corresponding action, she would have never gotten it. She would have never received. There had to be an action. So faith is there. You know, when you say, "I have faith." Okay. That's why when it said, "Show me your faith by your actions." So if you say you have faith, then I will see it. That's why when Jesus said, when they lowered the man through the roof, and his four friends lowered him through the roof, Jesus, what did he say? He saw their faith. Isn't that what it says? He saw their faith. So we always kid around and say, well, he must have had faith. He let his friends lower him through the roof. No, he said, you get me through that roof because I'm going to get healed. And Jesus saw that because it said he couldn't get in the house. They went up on the roof and broke up with the roof and let him down in. So he's like, I'm going to get it today. I'm getting it. That's why when Brother Hagin would say, he'd say, people would come to his meetings and people would pop up and they would just stand up in the audience and say, you just lay your hands on me. I'm going to get it. I want it right now. And he'd say, come on up. Boom. Action, 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 not talk. They didn't wait for him to call for a healing line. That was the woman with the issue of blood. She said, I'm getting that today. I'm going. And he said he would see that in his meetings. People would just stand right up and say, I want my healing. I see it now. I see it. I see it. You just lay your hands on me. I'll tell you, I'll get it right now. See, and it's the same thing. When faith is there, you could be sitting at home, in your home, reading the word, and you see it, and you go, I got it, I got it, I got it. Lord, I take it right now. You don't wait. You don't need to wait for somebody to lay. Now, that is one way where you could see something in a meeting, and then you take it. But you could be home, reading the word, and God reveals something to you, and you see something, and you go, I got it, I take it, and you start moving. What does it say in Galatians? It says, let's look over here for a second. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll close, because I think we have shared enough today. But Galatians chapter 6, and I believe it's verse 10. Well, back up in verse 9. Well, I'll read verse 7. It says, be not deceived. I'm reading from the King James. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So in other words, it's an action. It's an action. He's doing something. Then it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be what? Weary in what? Doing, in actions. Don't be weary in actions, in your actions. For in what? Due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint in your actions. Faith without an action is dead. And then what else does it say? As we have therefore what? Opportunity. Opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So, what are we really saying? As there's opportunities and you see it, you do something. You act. You act. And don't get weary in your well-doing. Because what? He's talking about faith here also. Faith acts. Faith looks for opportunities to do something. So we look for opportunities. And when we see opportunities, when we see something, that's really what we're saying. When we see something, we move. We start, we act on it. We act. So faith is what we're saying today. Faith without an action doesn't produce anything. You can believe for a garden in your yard. I'm gonna plant tomatoes and cucumbers and whatever. You can hope all you want, but it is not gonna come to pass until you do what? Do something. You got to put some seed in the ground. You can hope all you want, but there's got to be an action. There has to be an action. Otherwise, you don't reap. That's really what we're saying. Faith without an action does not produce something. And that's what Galatians is saying. As you have opportunity, do something. Sow, and you'll reap. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's working in our lives. Thank you that the love of God is working in our lives. Thank you, Father, that every good seed that we've planted in our lives will produce in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Thank you for unfolding and revealing your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Well, before we receive communion, let's just, we do this just because we don't know everybody here. We know most, but I don't know everybody's heart. But if the scripture is very clear that in order to be saved, to be redeemed, you need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, which is Romans 10, 9, and 10. And if there's anybody here today that hasn't asked Jesus into your heart, he can heal your heart. He can change your life and your circumstances. If you give him a chance, he's just looking for your heart to open up to him. And if you do that today, he'll change your heart and change the direction of your life. And most importantly, he'll come to take up residence and give you eternal life. So let's say this. Father God, I believe that you sent your son here to this earth to die for me and to take my sins and to pay for them. So I believe you took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. And I believe I was raised with you. So I accept you now as my Savior. Thank you for cleansing me with the blood of Jesus. And I will serve you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you're here today and you made that simple profession of faith, then let us know and we'll pray with you and give you some free information and rejoice with you. Amen.